Our opening song was All for Jesus. That's a good song coming from us. And I'm quite sure the Lord is happy to hear that song. What came to mind some time ago is a verse in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, where Paul is commending the saints in Colossae, and he said, in our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And in verse 13, it said, he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I thought of that, and I think of another verse in another area. It's our old riding horse. We love to get on that horse and quote it many times. It's Ephesians chapter 2. I've quoted Ephesians chapter 2. So when I came upon this, I was glad. Glad that here is another verse that parallels that verse. And when you start looking through the epistles that Paul wrote, you will find that they're parallels, because he's writing to Gentiles. And I'm thinking, isn't it wonderful that we as a people are now able to share in the hope and share in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? And what comes to mind is, years past, in the early ages, I think of after creation and after in the early ages, when man decided that he wanted to be independent of God. And he was doing his own thing. And God said, my spirit is not thriving with man because he is flesh. And the scripture said that it repented God that he had made man. Because man was having his own way, he was doing his own thing. And then we had the flood. Prior to the flood, Man had a way of escape, but he didn't want to hear anything about that. And Noah preached, and man was hard-headed. Well, we have the flood, and after the flood, it wasn't too long after that man decided that he was going to do his own thing again. He was going to be independent, and he was going to do his thing. And so we have the Tower of Babel, where man is going to ascend to the heavens. They're going to reach up there by their own will. And God had to come down and confuse the language. After that, what we have? We have Abraham living in a country with his dad. And God had to pull Abraham out of that country because that place was an idol-worshipping place. And so what do we have? Man constantly going against God, doing his own thing and not the will of God, making their own idols and worshiping God, worshiping the idols. And what happened? God pulled Abraham out because he was going to start a people for himself. And you and I know where that went. Because there was rebellion among those people also. The history of the Israelites was not a good history. God told them they should not be like the nations around. And after a few years, they were doing the same thing. Worshipping idols, rebelling against God. And when you read the book of Romans, it starts off, the writer, the Apostle Paul, he is writing, and he, in chapter 1, he speaks of the Gentiles being under condemnation. And when I saw that, it reminds me of the early ages. Those same people that were worshiping idols and being rebellious against God. And when God called Abraham out of Ur to make a nation unto himself, that they might worship him and be the light of the world, Paul must have been thinking of the history of man when he wrote chapter 1. But in chapter 2, speaking of his own people, he said that they were without excuse. Because these people who thought that they had the franchise to God, they were doing the same thing. Yes, to them came the oracles of God, and they were doing the same thing as the Gentiles were. But they were very prideful because God had told them that they should not be like the Gentiles. What did they do? They thought they were better than the Gentiles. They should not associate with the Gentiles. And there are a lot of things that they would not do because, you see, they felt that they were better, and they also felt that they knew the will of God, even though they were a rebellious people. And in chapter 2, we see the Jews were on the condemnation. And in chapter 3, we have that famous verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For us Christians, we should be careful. The Lord has called us out to be a people, to be the light of the world. Some of us, sometimes we get prideful too, and we think that we are better than these people, which are the non-Christians. But you know, in many cases, we are not better in our daily lives. We should watch our daily lives. Now, when I think of what was said in Colossians, and in some of the other epistles, Paul even mentioned them as Gentiles, I think of that great turnabout. We're a people who were not a people. A people who were divided by a wall, Jew and Gentile. And now that wall has been broken down. And in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, the people who were walked in darkness, they're now seeing a great light. And he said, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the rulers of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. And when I read that, I think of back in the early ages, where God had to call Abraham out. But in verse 3, Paul, who wrote Romans chapter 2, here's what he says. All of us. Paul, realizing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul, who was unlike Peter, who when the Lord called him and say, go see Cornelius, he had an attitude. The Lord had to teach him and show him, because he said, we don't associate with Gentiles. But Paul is saying here, all of us once lived among them in the passion of our flesh, following the desires of the flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath. This portion to the Ephesians is a wonderful portion to remember at all times. During the week, not only when we come here on a Sunday morning, but during the week. Because when you think of that, and when you think of the early stages of man, and on the history of man, and how God had to be patient and long-suffering, and what he had to do, and the fulfillment of the promise of his Son in John 3:16. When you think of that, it should make us constantly thank the Lord and worship him. We should not be just waiting on a Sunday morning. We should not be just waiting for that time when the throng in heaven will be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that has redeemed us unto God by his blood." We should be doing it right here on earth. And not only on a Sunday morning. And not only at nights when, because we remember, Lord, we went out and drove around through the day and almost had an accident. And here we are in our closing prayer at the end of the day, we are saying, "Lord, thank you." But we should be thanking him and worshiping him throughout the day as we drive our cars, as we be about our jobs. Just think of the God who was patient with us, sent his Son to die for us, to take on our sins, and especially for us Gentiles who were blind. Because our forefathers was rebellious against God. And as Romans 1 said, there were evidences for them to know, and yet they were rebellious. No Jewish person is here, so I won't label that one. The point where they were also rebellious in following the Gentiles against God. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of our Son, your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we have much to praise you for. Lord, thank you for your patience. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to shine the light in our hearts, that we might continue to learn and know more about you. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.